You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live, This Week, featuring news and commentary on This Week in Black Hollywood. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live This Week, Dario Kristen.
Hey, what's up, everybody? You're watching Black Hollywood Live This Week. I am your host, Dario Kristen. It's Friday. We are in a great mood. Woo! Hope you are having a great week like we are. Joining me today is Courtney Stewart and her lovely turquoise. Is that a turquoise thing?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. What's going on,
nice,
everybody?
Nice.
We are family up in here.
We are family. DJ Jesse J.
What's up?
And we have a very special guest who's going to join us right now just for the top of our show. We have filmmaker Rama Mosley joining us. How are you doing, Rama?
Welcome.
Thank you.
This has been a really grand week for you, and there's been a lot of information in the headlines and in the news about Bring Our Girls Home, and I know you are tremendously involved with that. How did you first get involved with the project overall?
I heard about the story on April 23rd about the 300 girls that were kidnapped from Nigeria, and I just couldn't even believe that it was true. I was sickened. And I went home and I looked for more information. There was very little about it except overseas. And I was outraged. You know, in 2014, the idea that 300 schoolgirls could be kidnapped from their classes, from their dormitory, was just such an atrocity. And I felt like people needed to be talking about this.
And have you had any kind of negative pushback in the press, or do you feel like there's anything in there that you feel you wanted to address to the public about the situations that are going on?
Well, I really want to keep the focus on the immediate rescue of the 300 schoolgirls. You know, my heart is broken for their families, and every day I think about them before I wake up. I'm dreaming about them, and as I go through my day, I just keep speaking about them so that people will understand that we all need to take action. You know, I think that one of the things I've learned from this experience is that we all can make a difference, and that, you know, oppression can only exist in darkness when people are too afraid or unable to speak up. And this opportunity to speak out and to really socialize this message, which is that these 300 schoolgirls, you know, matter, is very important, because what's going to happen is, you know, eventually it's going to become more and more difficult for this kind of repression to take place, and ultimately it will be impossible because it is so wrong. And I really believe that it was my responsibility to share this with all of my friends and to get them involved. And then from there, I started the Facebook Bring Back Our Girls page so that people could have a place to go to find credible news and to also help know what to do, you know, have action items, you know, write your government, create a rally. And we've also now just been helping people to organize a rally so people around the world know where to go and who to speak with. And so I think that the most difficult part of this process has been the pain of every day progressing and the girls are still not found. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my own personal dedication to this and wanting them to be rescued.
Why is it so important for you personally with this specific story that kind of motivated you to want to help and want to be a voice and want to, you know, make people aware? Why this?
You know, I'm a mother of two, and I think anyone with a heart would have to care about this story. But as somebody who has worked in the area of education, I made a documentary called Girl Rising, and it's about girls around the world who are struggling to get educated. And it's, you know, a film that follows nine girls. And I followed a girl from Afghanistan, and I told her story. And that really was a enlightening experience. And I started to realize just how important educating girls is to the world and to the security and to the prosperity of our world. You know, if you educate a schoolgirl, she's more likely to have children later in life and to go on and educate her own children, educate her community, and to break the cycle of poverty. And I really do believe that, you know, the poverty is really the root of terrorism, because what happens is when people have no other opportunities, you know, they have no outlets, they have nothing, no way to make money, they're going to turn to terrorism. And so I believe that really that this was essential for me to get involved with and to speak out to the people that I knew. And my hope was that the news would start to carry it in the United States. That was, you know, my hope was that we would start to get involved, that our country would go in and help. And that's what has happened. And everything else has been a complete surprise to me in terms of the attention.
Now, we are getting the news. It is trickling in now a little bit more. But I almost feel like we still are only getting our version of the news, which can be somewhat sensationalized, so to speak, not necessarily fact by fact basis. Do you feel like our intervention that we've done so far is up to par? Do you feel like have you come into information of things that we could be doing more of that we're not really doing more of? Or is it more on Nigeria's end that it's really not them wanting to accept our help? What kind of information, if any at all, have you gotten in sort of working with the process for the last few weeks?
Well, I really can't speak to military or intelligence strategies because mm-hmm. that's not my expertise, but I know that, you know, what we wanted to have happen was for the United States government to offer their help to Nigeria and to go and actually mm-hmm. assist, and that has happened, and as has the UK, and France has pledged as well. So that's very, very important. And, you know, one of the things that we have to remember here is that this is, you know, the Nigerian people are very, very powerful. You know, this rally call first happened in Nigeria. You know, mm-hmm. Obi Ezeki, it was the first person to cry out, you know, bring back our girls. And she asked the people who were at the rally she was at to tweet this, bring back our girls. She created it. And I believe the first gentleman who actually tweeted it was Abraham Abu Dili. And, you know, they tweeted it. I saw the tweet. And I tweeted right back. And, you know, I think that what we have done is begin to get the message out. Now, they need to go rescue those girls. Every day, every hour that goes by that these girls are not rescued is making me more and more ill, because I really want to stop talking about the social media. I want to talk about how these girls were rescued and how we can now help them and help the families. But I think that, you know, this has been a pretty amazing example of speaking out. And I really hope that people understand that that has been my intention, my focus from the very beginning, and will remain that my focus. No matter what happens, I will continue to speak out on behalf of these girls and on behalf of all girls, because I believe that every child deserves to be educated.
And then today it was reported, too, that obviously with all your efforts and great efforts that the U.S. is getting involved and sending teams over there. Now, there was a little bit of criticism, I guess, because of the fact that there's such a small amount of U.S. The U.S. team that's actually going over there. What's your thoughts on it? I would have expected it to be more as well, as some people are criticizing and saying. Yeah. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, again, I can't say what is the right thing, because, you know, you talk to people in Nigeria, and it's a very complicated situation. You know, they could go in and bomb Boko Haram from the top, but that would harm the girls. So they have been really working to try to figure out what the answer is. We all think we know what the answer is, but it's much more complex than we even mm-hmm. know. And the truth of the matter is that I do believe that, you know, they are trying, and our government is now coming in to try to help and make the efforts better. But for us all to say, you know, send in special ops and, you know, send in the military, our military, we just can't say that. And I really want to keep the focus on all of our hearts and our voices going out to really support these families in Nigeria, and for the Nigerian people to know that we as Americans care. Really, that is so crucial. And I have to say, in the first few days when I started to build the Facebook page, I was just flooded with Nigerians, you know, coming to me, to the page, and thanking me for starting this. You know, people saying, thank you for seeing this, that mm-hmm. this is, you know, being communicated. So I think that that's really important. And I also think that it's really important that we realize that we all can make a difference collectively. You know, that we can all, there's actions that we can do. You know, a lot of times we feel so apathetic about these problems and are very desensitized to the violence that is happening around mm-hmm. the world, especially in Africa. And I really truly believe that it is, we are a world community. And what Boko Haram is doing is waging a global war against education. And it's not just happening in Nigeria. It will spread. if we don't stand up and tell our governments that we care about this issue and that we as a community will not accept this, it will spread. And that is my biggest fear, is that it will spread. And I do this for the girls because I want them to be rescued immediately, and I do this for my own children and for all of our children so that we can make sure that our country is safe and that all people can be educated.
How much contact, if any at all, directly with some of the families of the girls have you had?
I have not had any contact with families, and I'm not sure that there are many people that actually have, except for journalists who've landed on the ground. I know some journalists who've landed. I had tried in the beginning, in the early days, first few days, to reach out, and this has been a lesson for me also about being very wary about who you go out and you're trying to help, because I'd reached out and I inadvertently ended up being connected to and having a correspondence with a very extremist group who was trying to raise funds to train and arm young men to fight Boko Haram. Mm. And I, one of the things that I've just been really having to do as I go through this is learn the process. And I think and what I want to say to people is that, this has been a scary process because, to speak out and to try to get the word, I thought, this is going to be, something that I need to do. I am so heartbroken. I'm sick about it. I have to help. I did not think at all about, just how that would affect my entire life, how that would affect my family. And I would not change a thing. I would do exactly what I've done in terms of speaking out and getting the word out, but I've definitely learned a lot about, communication and the way communication works.
I can't imagine anyone being upset with you over something like this. Like you said, we're a global community, no matter race, color, anything.
Yeah.
So a community is coming together to help someone else within the community. I can't imagine what type of negative response you would get or type of communication issues that you would have.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I think that, I try not to look at Twitter and see what people are saying, but there has been some upsetting things, that I'm trying to be the white savior. My husband found posts of memes with my head on top of Martin Luther King's body at rallies. Wow. And it just, it's really is cyberbullying.
So how do you not allow that when you see things like that and, not allowing that anger to kind of get in you without kind of like speaking out on it? How do you continue to keep pushing on and keeping these girls the focus?
Well, this is the first moment I've actually talked about it, but really the reason that I don't speak out about it is that my focus is not on myself. My focus is on those girls, and my focus has always been on those girls, and really making sure that the world understands just how important they are. Of course, Nigerians understand; they know. But you ask the average American. When I first posted the picture "Bring Back Our Girls," people were like, "Who are these girls, and why do we care about them? Was it a girl band?"
Wow.
People didn't understand, and so that is my focus. It's truly. If anything, this may have been damaging for me personally, only in that I've just spent so much time focused on it that I'm not actually working, and I support my family. But that doesn't matter because this is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
This is a very important issue, and I really also want my children to see activism, at work. And my daughter has been with me for some of the rallies, and she's watched and she's seen, just how powerful people's response is to this information. And I want her to understand that her voice matters, that girls are not to be sold. They're not objects. Girls cannot be sold into slavery. It's unacceptable. It's what is in their hearts and their minds that matter, and that a single girl can be a revolution. You look at Malala. She was a revolution, and that's what I want her to see.
It's funny because, we get a lot of Americans saying, why do we care? They're so stubborn to, want to be ignorant to the fact of who are these girls? Why should we care? And I appreciate you being stubborn.
Absolutely.
No, I'm getting this message across. No matter what comes at me, no matter who wants to try and knock this down, these girls will be known, they will be found, and they will be brought home. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And I really,
all of your efforts.
I really am so grateful to the Nigerian people, the Nigerian women who are so powerful and who would not stop speaking about this. Because, you know, there are atrocities across Nigeria every day. You know, a week before this happened, 29 schoolboys were locked in their school and it was set on fire and they were, you know, burned alive. Mm. You know, 59 university students were gunned down in their classroom. There's been a lot of really awful, horrendous, you know, activity happening there. And the fact that these women would not stop and they kept speaking and they kept shouting to the, you know, world, the fact that they did that is why the news got out. It is because of them. Now, I saw the tweet and I just echoed it. I heard the news and I just echoed it to people that I knew. But it's really the Nigerian women that are the power behind this movement. Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to me, too, because you spoke a little bit earlier about that, you know, sometimes you said you got a little criticism about race and things. But to me, when I look at these rallies, I'm looking at all these uniform of different people and different ethnicities who all have the same cause, who are forming together to fight for this cause. So I applaud you for all of your efforts, as Jesse was saying as well, because we need to know these type of things. I mean, we talk about it on the show a lot that you have young kids and young adults who know the latest rap song, but they don't know what's going on in the world. So we need people like you to continue to bring these topics so that everyone is educated.
Yes. Rama, so, this is Pat in the booth. I just want to say that, you know, I moved to tears in here because I know right before you came on, you were dealing with some harsh stuff with people. And it's so poignant you brought up cyberbullying, but I want you to know that I am so proud of you and for everything that you're doing. And this show, I want you to know that we support you. And it is so important that you are a face for this because it is important to have a single message and a global unity behind this. And the fact that you are doing that unabashedly, even though being in front of the camera, in front of these crowds might not be a natural state for you, you are doing it. Please do not be deterred by the people online who are saying these things. It is so important that this is the number one news item and news agenda out there and that we unite. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very kind. Thank you. You know, for people who haven't seen the film Girl Rising, it's a documentary, you know, that was made by a group of just people who cared, mm-hmm. you know, that live in apartments and don't have a lot of money but decided to put all their focus on, you know, making a film about education. And it was, you know, definitely the most transformative experience, really, of my life, besides having my children and getting married. because when I saw, you know, these schoolgirls and I saw what was happening in Afghanistan and just the deep desire for girls to want to be educated, you know, the story that I followed was about a girl who, when she was 10 years old, she was sold into marriage for $5,000, you know, by her family. And she had been going to school up until then. She was pulled out of school. By the time she was 12, she was pregnant. And she just wanted to get back to school. And so I told that story in the film that I directed. And I just think that, you know, if people could hear and understand, you know, we take for granted education in this country. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like a bummer for a lot of people.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's a little bit like people feel that, you know, they have to do it for somebody else, you know. But education is a privilege. It is a right, you know. And when you start to turn that around and realize that your own education is really for yourself and that it's a gift to yourself and it's a gift to the world, you know, you can start to really make a difference. And so many children around the world are at work right now, you know, and are enslaved and are, you know, unable to go to school. And I went to Cambodia a couple years ago, and I went to some Cambodian schools, and they didn't have papers and booklets. And so Isabel, my daughter, and I went, and we went to the market, and we bought 300 so that each kid could have their own little booklet and pencil. And if you could have seen their faces, you know, you would have just cried. It was like when they looked at the pencils and the paper, because in the school they were teaching, but they didn't have the tools to write. So around the world, you know, there are children who need to be educated, want to be educated, and every day we take it for granted.
Yeah. That's true.
So just in terms of the Bring Our Girls Back movement, action items for our listeners, for us, mm-hmm. like what can we be doing right now for the next however long it takes.
Well, we need to keep this in the news, and we need to make sure that our government leaders understand that we absolutely care about this issue and that we demand that we continue helping the Nigerian government. So, one, we need to write all of our senators. And that's what I started doing. The very first thing I did was I wrote my senators, wrote the congressmen. I started tweeting at Obama, the White House. I called them every day. Up until just yesterday, I was calling them every day because you can leave a comment. You can actually call the White House and leave a comment and talk to a real person. And that, you know, people need to come out to protest. Let me call it a different way. Come out to the rallies. To come out to the rallies and the marches and to be there physically, because there are a lot of people who are not watching the news and still don't know. You know, we were at a rally today and, you know, holding up the signs and saying, you know, bring back our girls. And people were confused still and asking for information. So I think people need to come out. And this Sunday at Leimert Park in Los Angeles, there is going to be a Mother's Day vigil. It's at 6:30 p.m., and it's bringing together Nigerian community, you know, American, all different, you know, colors, races. And it's all about, you know, really celebrating and honoring, you know, the Nigerian people and also honoring these, you know, these heartbroken mothers and sharing in their heartbreak and saying that we stand with them on this very special day, you know, that is Mother's Day, that we want to honor them and that we continue to demand the rescue of their girls. So we're going to light candles and, you know, sing, pray.
What is the proudest thing that you've seen out of helping to put all of this together? What is the moment where you started to really feel like things may be coming to light?
It was really when I found out that ABC was sending a crew on the ground to Nigeria at the same time I found out that John Kerry had vowed the State Department's support and that they were going to be sending in help. That was, I mean, I can't say proud as much as that was the moment where I feel like, okay, this is beginning to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, my focus now is to continue to make sure that it stays in the news and that it stays in our government leaders' focus, because, you know, these girls need to be rescued, and I, you know, I'm just praying that we can rescue them, and we need to stop Boko Haram. They need to be brought to justice. You know, I don't even want to go to what if we can't rescue the girls, because it's too heartbreaking for me. But, you know, we need to remember that these girls are symbolic of girls around the world.
Yeah.
And these are all our girls. And that's why the phrase that OB said in Nigeria was so powerful, and I think it's really why so many people have stood up, is that these are our girls.
Yeah. Well, thank you for just telling us and just enlightening us with
being
more of the
open
story and being open and just keeping this message out there, because that's obviously so important. For people, like Courtney was saying, who want to just get more involved or want to contact you or find out more about how to get involved, where can they reach?
You know, go to facebook.com, Bring Back Our Girls, and you can follow us on Twitter at Rescue Our Girls. Although I just find that, you know, sometimes Twitter can be just, you know, a little hectic, but for people who are Twitter people, and my daughter is running the Instagram Bring Back Our Girls site. You know, she's 11 years old, and she told me that young people aren't on Facebook or Twitter. They're only on Instagram.
Yeah, she's right.
She told me that Facebook is for the Prairie Days. So I, you know, so she posts photos there and information so that all of the youth out there who aren't on Facebook or who don't watch the news can find out about our protests and our rallies and how to get involved.
And I've seen it on Instagram. And you guys are getting a real big wave on Instagram. So.
Well, thank you again. We know you have to get out of here, but just know that BHL is the home for you if you ever need to come back here to have us shed some light on the message or you know, help you with anything. Let us know.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Have a great day.
Thank you. All right, everyone. Well, we're going to move on to our next topics after that wonderful talk with Rama. But first, I want to remind everyone to go to the Buzzometer question and rate and let us know exactly what you think about it. I'm going to read the last week's first. Would you confirm your views in order to be accepted by the masses? You guys voted. 26% of you said yes. 74% of you said no. I'm a little surprised by that. What do you guys think about that?
I think people
statistic?
Like to think that they wouldn't conform their views to go with the masses. But
yeah. I think that let's just look at the reality.
The
yeah.
reality is
let's
that,
look at
that
life.
Those numbers are split.
Those numbers
They're
are flipped.
Sorry.
Yeah.
They should be flipped.
They should be flipped, right.
But theoretically, I think we all want to believe right. that we don't conform our views for the masses.
Yes.
I know. I should.
I don't. Or try not to. All right, our buzzer meter question for today is, do you think that Willow Smith's photo is inappropriate? We're going to get to talk about that a little bit more if you don't know what's going on. Before we move into trending topics, I also want to remind everyone exactly what topics we will be discussing today outside of everything that's going on with Bring Back Our Girls. We also will be talking about Saturday Night Live's slavery skit causing a lot of racial outrage, as well as Will and Jada Smith's daughter getting a little bit of heat because of a steamy photo. So let's go ahead and move on to our trending topics with DJ Jesse J.
Well, Jet Magazine.
Jet, old school.
Jet.
Everyone's aunts and uncles.
The Jet Beauty.
Beauty of the Week.
Jet Beauty of the Week.
They used to be sitting next to the toilets, stacked up.
Stacked.
Well, yeah. Not no more. Jet Magazine, after 63 years on Wednesday, made an announcement that they will not be publishing in print anymore. Aww. And they will officially just be out on online. There'll be an online subscription-based magazine. This is something that they said they've been thinking about this for a very long time, and they have not taken this lightly at all. Like, some people are upset because, you know, it's such a tradition, Jet Magazine.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
excited to get it in mail.
I would imagine the people that subscribe to Jet are not really online very much.
I would think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
It seems like real old school.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Well, so here's the thing with this. It's kind of... Jet is using this as a platform to kind of be one of the pioneers mm-hmm. in this industry, which is interesting.
Okay.
But the problem is that a lot of people who have magazine subscriptions don't want to go online, especially with something like Jet, where it is more of an older crowd. They're trying to gain a younger crowd, yeah. a younger generation. I wish them the best of luck.
For sure.
I mean, I have a couple friends who are in the magazine world, and yeah. it's very hard.
Yes.
Online subscriptions are very hard.
They are.
Because you can get them for free.
You can get them for free, and everything, yeah. right, everything's online. And I come from the magazine world, Vibe Magazine, for many years, and publishing has been going down for many years as well. I mean, you see a lot. I'm surprised, honestly, at this point that a lot of books haven't folded all over.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, everything is free. And when you look at books, you see them start to get thinner and thinner because advertisers aren't in there as much. They're going more online. So just the fact that Jet has been able to last this long, I mean...
It's a shocker,
I mean, I remember my grandparents having this book,
yeah.
so...
I'm pretty sure only my grandparents had it.
But. yeah, yes. But, hey, I'm sure more successful things...
And the hair salon.
The hair salon
always had them.
The hair salon, always. And yeah. I always had the Jet Beauty pull, you know.
Yes. Well, speaking of that, they said it's really important in this day and age that you get information to people right away and that it doesn't become stale. The online version will still have all of our familiar features of Jet, including its signature beauty centerfold.
So funny.
So, I mean, they're going to try and keep it traditional.
They're smart, though, with the beauty centerfold.
They're
trying to keep it a little sexy. Yeah. Let's keep it real. You know,
that's what they're known for.
That's what they're known for.
Let's go look at the Jet Beauty.
Because the articles are like this big.
Yeah.
Three sentences.
Sound like my kind of magazine.
There you go.
Moving on to Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Lord.
So they had a skit this week. What's the news thing that they do? Oh my gosh.
First, I can't think of it right now, but yes.
The new skit
the
on
new
Saturday
skit.
Night
yes.
Live.
Yes.
That they've been doing
for
years, and my brain doesn't want to
remember. Tweet us. Let us know.
So,
we just forgot all three of us.
Well, now we've obviously Saturday Night Live's been in the news. You know, they need to diversify the show up, and mm-hmm. they recently... found a female African-American cast member. They got some female African-American writers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got some backlash this past Saturday.
Yes.
Because in the skit, they had Leslie Jones on. And basically, she indicated that because of her large size and her dark skin, that would have made her a number one slave draft pick. To be bred with enslaved men in the plantation. A lot of people were deeply troubled by her saying this. What enslaved women and men experienced was not love or desire, but it was rape. For them to make a joke about this is insensitive and inappropriate. So Leslie got upset, and she went to Twitter, mm-hmm. and basically she kind of was just like, I'm just kind of shocked that stupid people watch Saturday Night Live. I thought Saturday Night Live had an intelligent crowd watching them, and if you kind of paid attention to what I was saying, there's a deeper rooted issue here that we should be looking at.
Right.
Did y'all see the skit?
I saw the skit. Okay, so I had kind of two reactions to it. My first initial reaction, I was like, wow, she took it a little bit too far when I first saw it. And then when I watched it over and over again, I actually kind of, I had a change of opinion. I thought that she was making fun of this situation. So I was like, you know what? It's all good. You know, it's not, she's not calling herself a slave. She's not doing any of that stuff. She's making fun of it. It's satire. Is it satire? Yeah, is that the right word? So I didn't take it as serious as all these comments that people are making a big deal about it. I mean, it's Saturday Night Live at the end of the day. They're going to push the envelope to a certain extent as it is. And
like people are saying that they're pushing welfare queens.
Yeah, I mean, I mean,
I'm sure Saturday Night Live, that's the agenda of Saturday Night Live.
Here's the thing. Pat has an opinion here. And Courtney, I can see you like bubbling, so maybe you're on the same side as me. I think that she made some improper jokes that don't fit for SNL humor. SNL doesn't do stand-up comedy, which is basically like where you can say anything. And she made jokes that they must have known were really risque. Having just cast a black female actress on the show a matter of months ago?
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, huge step. And I think inappropriate.
I think really bad timing. Like, really bad timing. Like, was I super offended? No. Did I think it was the best joke ever? No.
Right.
But at the same time, like Pat just said, we just got a black girl on the show. We just got her on it as a writer. Like, and I get, because she went on a tirade, I think, somewhere about how if Chris Rock and so-and-so on Twitter, had done this, like, on in their stand-up, like, nobody would have thought twice about it. And I'm like, probably not. But you're in a different arena right now that has a very... And I know that's sort of like limiting the art and everybody gets into that argument, but it's one of those things like we're shooting our own self in the foot and it's really frustrating. Like maybe that should have waited a little bit longer and been fleshed out a little bit better.
Thing is, are slave jokes funny?
Well, no, I mean, honestly, to be real, like I took this as a conversation that she delivered as a stand-up comedian.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
The entire
you.
Thing, the white guy sitting next to her was just a prop, so it looked like they were a news thing. But yeah. she was doing stand-up comedy right there.
Yeah.
And I mean, is it appropriate? No, but is the conversation like, hi, let's not like sleep on it. Like, this is what people think of me. This is what people look at me as. And so I will have the conversation here. And it was probably the African-American writers who wrote this. So
I'm
that way,
sure she wrote
she
it.
She wrote
oh.
it, yeah.
So
she
that way,
it
is bold enough to put out there to have the conversation because SNL hasn't been this diverse to have that kind of conversation. And if we can have it in an educated manner afterwards, I think that, you know, to jump on her because of this, I think SNL has had other skits that we can be looking at as racist versus this. I don't know. I didn't really take it as her making fun of herself in any way.
I actually, Pat, sorry, I have so many opinions. I actually definitely agree.
Why
I think
you just sit at the table?
The joke, I mean, honestly, I want to come in. The joke was funny. It was well performed. I think Courtney hit it on the head that it was bad timing and it was in new taste for the show.
Yeah.
But the reality is the show also does stuff like, you know, They play stereotypes, they play gay characters, they like,
absolutely.
You know, they do stuff that is almost subliminally worse.
Yeah.
So, it's a fair game, it was just, I'm almost excited by the radicalism of it. And people are so, I think people are really just offended that she made slave jokes, in my opinion.
But it's almost like, there's no way for her, okay, like,
no way for her not to.
Slave jokes, on a certain level, have to come out at some point.
I mean, Lupita is really in. You know, she's made the slave.
Oh my God, Pat.
She won an Oscar for a movie.
She made the slave what, Pat?
She made the slave happen.
What,
I mean, she.
You're about to help Leslie.
I don't know if you're helping her right now, Pat.
I mean, like, what do you think inspired that joke? I think that Lupita Fever is real. It was a show that made slavery a huge topic again.
The draft pick is, I think, the whole draft thing that's going on right now.
I don't know about sports, so maybe I'm wrong. All right, I'm out. Tap out.
All right,
she,
all right.
Yeah, she just, yeah. It's one of those things, like, people that thought, like, when we did the girl that was the slave girl on a fake plantation or whatever, and she did a little skit, like, was that funny versus the Harriet Tubman skit not being funny?
Right.
So it's just one of those things. That it's a topic that, yes, it can be funny. Obviously, it's a subject matter that is relevant that you can joke about at some, but it can easily go into poor taste very quickly. And I just think at this point in time with Saturday Night Live, ain't nobody ready for that. Like, she ain't nobody ready for that. Like,
I feel like she just came in with a bang, though. I feel like it was part of the
whole... A bang, but a bang that's either going to turn people off, and then people be like, see, that's why we didn't want the black folks on
now. Now it's all about race.
Because now it's all racial and uncomfortable, and we don't know what we can say and what we can't say. Like, I mean, I appreciate the white folks and think, but sometimes you got to ease them into it a little bit. Like, don't come so hard all immediately.
Yeah, right, right. Like, too much at the top.
And then, like, let's talk about weaves and stuff that's real light and funny at first, and then we can get hard and get...
Okay, yeah. Wait, we're going to move on to...
The black folks were mad.
We're going to move on to another topic, but I do want to have say one thing about that, but do you think, once again, because some of the comments I was reading was that black people as a whole, it doesn't, we're always going to find something wrong when it comes to dealing with anything with race and it being made fun of, where you just mentioned
slavery, yeah, for sure.
Well, slavery, but you just mentioned, do you think if she made fun of black girls with weaves and all that, do you think that wouldn't, people wouldn't, I mean, complain
about
that
too?
But they do that already.
See, the Harriet Tubman thing for me was, you're making fun of someone specifically, and that the joke didn't even make sense. Where this is, she's talking about a general statement of her if she was in this time. I don't know. So, like, for me, the Harriet Tubman one was just like, well, Harriet Tubman did not have a sex tape. It's not even funny that you would even pretend.
Yeah, that wasn't funny.
That this,
but it's in the same lane, though, because they're talking. The issue is the rape of black women by white men. Right. Like, that's what is at the core, and whether or not that's something that's allowed
well,
to be.
Well, she wasn't
about.
Talking about that. She was talking about the fact that she would sleep with the black
man. With the black man, technically, yes.
Yes, but when she's saying, I would have been the hot stuff and I would have been this, that's a reference to the fact that she would have been a choice breeding object.
Right, right.
That's where people, and rape is always weird and of murky territory. That's why, just talk about something else.
Well, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about Scandal.
Oh,
as if we don't know about this damn story, Monica Lewinsky felt like she needed to write something for Vanity Fair. And she needed to break her silence.
She broke something.
A marriage? Just kidding.
Ooh, they doing all right.
Well, so they're doing fine.
They're doing just fine.
So basically she spoke out where she feels she regrets and, you know, yada yada. She understands that Hillary blames herself, but, you know, all this. But the worst thing she did was she came for the wrong motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
She spoke on the one person you do not speak about.
You don't know
she spoke about the queen bee. Beyonce. She checked Beyonce. She said, you know, she addressed the raunchy reference, I don't know, in Beyonce song Partition.
Yeah.
Put those
on Partition, please. Where Beyonce comes out, she says, he Monica Lewinsky'd all on my gown. Well, Monica said, thank you, Beyonce, but if you were verbing, I think what you meant to say was you Bill Clinton'd all on my gown, not Monica Lewinsky'd. So,
she's coming for the queen bee,
which I did always wonder that, too.
Well, yeah, but who would say Bill Clinton all over? Like, the whole thing is about Monica, not because it's Bill's stuff.
And people probably wouldn't get it as quickly as saying Monica Lewinsky.
That's
either.
That's true.
You know, so, but it doesn't technically, but technically Monica's right.
Yes,
you know,
technically.
But, well, so congratulations, Monica. You got your last 15 seconds of fame.
Yes. Hopefully she can sell 5 books.
Boop. On that note.
Will people buy it? I mean, is anybody interested in that anymore? Like,
no, and it's so funny.
Care?
I watched the Huffington Post, and one of the guys was like, oh, wait, what's this story? I haven't heard about this one before. What's going on? Like, what else are you going to tell us?
Nobody cares.
And how many years has it been now?
It's been like 20 years.
20 years or something, right?
And, like, just, and I get that, like, nobody will leave her alone about it, like, in her own life, but, like, we don't care.
Yeah, like, Nico and Mimi have a sex tape.
I mean, get a face. Like,
we'll
get
talk
a,
about that
she could get
later.
A facelift or something and, like, just be somebody else. Like, just, what is the girl that was on Dirty Dancing and changed her nose and nobody knew who she was anymore? Like,
Jennifer,
she was another whole
Jennifer
person.
Gray.
Jennifer Gray.
Jennifer Gray.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, just get a nose job or something so we don't know who you are and, like, live your life. Nobody cares.
Maybe she's trying to bring the Halloween costumes back.
Right.
To get that extra pay. But whatever. Make sure you guys check us out over at not only here at Black Hollywood Live, but our sister company at AfterBuzz TV. We cover your favorite TV shows, whatever it is. As soon as you're done watching it, make sure you tune into AfterBuzzTV.com because we are over there talking about it. I'm irritated because Courtney wasn't there for last week for the Real Housewives of Atlanta for the final two-hour reunion.
They had three.
And Miss Phaedra
read Kenya for filth. Shut her up. Shut her down. Turned her sideways. Couldn't do nothing about it. But sit there.
$10 medium-sized pizza.
You two get so hyped when you talk about the show, too.
Activated in a cup.
And if you want to see how hype we really get, go to AfterBuzzTV.com.
All right. Thank you, Jesse, for those trending topics. We're going to move on to some gossip and rumors with Courtney.
Yes. Speaking of the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
What?
One of the stars who we have known has been in a little bit of trouble, Phaedra's husband, Apollo Nida, he officially pled guilty on Tuesday. Yes, he did.
Mind you, at the reunion, he was talking about...
It's going to be fine, whatever. Well, it ain't fine. He pled guilty to wire and bank fraud. And according to TMZ, which I also found interesting that he pled guilty, I assumed he copped some kind of deal. But TMZ is reporting he made a deal with the feds, which makes absolutely no sense. Number one, because we all know about it. And number two, who the hell's going to talk to him? So basically, TMZ is reporting that he made a deal with the feds to act in an undercover investigative capacity. But who's gonna, like, talk to him about dirty business? Like, we all know
who you are.
So, I don't know how true that is or how much sense that really makes, but supposedly he made a deal with the feds, and he will be sentenced in July, and he could actually get up to 30 years.
Could you imagine?
I love
it. If it was all against Phaedra, if the feds worked with him to get Phaedra... Oh, that would be the tea.
You rewrote
all
the entire new season.
Be the only way it makes
any sense.
But she's not stupid.
No,
because number one, she has not been caught, and she will know darn sure how not to get caught.
And in court, she had, you know, he obviously said that she had no information about anything that he was doing, which I find that quite hard to believe.
I think he'll protect her.
Of course he will.
Yeah, it's his baby.
It's his baby's mama.
Yeah. Somebody got to be there for them two babies.
Right.
So, good luck, Apollo Nida. He could be in for 30.
And note to self, when you do a reality TV show, don't talk about your money and how you know, what do you say? You spent like $8,000 at the stripper clubs, and he had just got out of jail, so where do you get that money from?
Honey. Well, hey, Kenya, like he said, send him his checks.
No. That was really funny. He's like, you going to put something on my book? I was like, ooh, honey,
that's so
ghetto.
He was so proud to say book twice.
Yes, it is not cute. I would have been embarrassed if I was Phaedra. Grounds for divorce. She might stick beside him, though. She believes in that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of sticking beside people, we got some haterade going on up in the comedy world this week. So, for those of you guys that don't know, Mike Epps and Kevin Hart got a little beef going on out there in the Twitterverse.
Well, apparently to Kevin Hart, you might have to explain who Mike Epps is.
Okay. Oh, that's harsh.
That's real harsh.
So, y'all remember Mike Epps from Friday. Probably what you remember him for. Stop it, Jesse. He's
Welcome
been around
home, Roscoe
for like 20 years.
Jenkins.
He's been working as a stand-up all around the country and working in films for 20-some years. So last week, though, Mike just was running off at the mouth on a radio station called at a show called Dee Dee in the Morning. And he basically called Kevin Hart an overrated comedian. And he went on to say, quote, "It's a lot of bad movies that comedians get in, and they're not good in them. And they make money, and then people keep putting them in movies. In this business right here, guess what? Sometimes marketing can be bigger than talent. This business is not about being funny. This business is about being forced on people." He was referencing Kevin Hart, for all of those that don't know. So any of you missed any portion of that comment, basically he said, this fool ain't got no talent, and he just being forced on people right now. Ooh, everybody was like, oh, no, he didn't. And then Kevin Hart decided he was going to respond on Twitter.
Roasted.
He roasted the hell out of Mike Epps. I'm just
Which makes me feel like, is Kevin Hart gay?
Hold on.
Because he was like on some Phaedra shit.
We will read the Kevin Hart tweets, and I got to pick this up because there's glare. Okay, here we go. Kevin Hart. "Just heard at the real Mike Epps called me overrated on the radio this morning. I missed it because I was on set working. Do you remember what that is? Hey, at the real Mike Epps, why don't you do us all a favor and kill your goddamn self? Didn't you learn your lesson from fucking with me last time? Don't talk to me until you start selling out arenas, at the real Mike Epps. If your shows aren't selling and you need some help, maybe I will send out a tweet. Overrate that. Oh, one more thing, at the real Mike Epps. If you keep talking crazy, I will book shows the same day as you in the same cities and shut your shit down. That's called flexing, at the real Mike Epps. I'm going to go take my overrated ass back to work now. My work here is done. Boom. Drops the
Listen,
mic.
Listen, Jesse, I loved it. When I first read it, I was like, he said everything he needed to say. Like, there's nothing else. Who won the battle? We know. Kevin, obviously.
I mean, at the end of the day, I love Mike Epps. For Mike Epps to say that, like, a lot of the stuff that Mike Epps said, it was like, I could say that about you. You're put in horrible movies. Other than Friday. I honestly can't think of a movie that I've seen Mike Epps and been like, oh, wow, he really did that. I like his stand-up comedy. I like him as a stand-up comedian. I like him in the Friday series. That character worked for me. I haven't seen Mike Epps in a role that, you know, fits. Now, I haven't seen Kevin Hart in a role either. And for me, Kevin Hart, I like Kevin Hart as a stand-up comedian. He, again, gets a little repetitive with his type of comedy. But I mean, to hate on him, Mike,
hey,
is
listen,
just like, you look salty, you look bitter. And like, he's basically done Nicki Minaj your ass. You Lil Kim, and he done Nicki Minaj you.
Yes.
So, I mean, I understand why you're mad, but look at what happened to Lil Kim when she barked. So let's not do that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, where he's coming from is not. Like, it's a business, Hollywood. It doesn't necessarily mean the most talented person gets ahead, but you just know that. You don't go out blasting people for
but
it.
But he could have said that, because what he said did make sense. But the fact that he was like, oh, he's so, like, it just
don't
came off bitter.
Overrated.
It just came
it
off bitter.
Bitter.
You can say, you know, I feel like Kevin Hart's very talented, but I feel like there are other African-American comedians who, you know, should be getting certain
right.
roles.
I could, yeah.
And I left out the part of the quote where Mike Epps was talking about if they hired handsome men, he would get more jobs, because he basically would
Mike
call
Epps,
him Kevin Hart
50.
Very unattractive. Wow. So, there you go.
Once again, Kevin Hart won the battle.
Sorry you won. Speaking
next Friday, Day-Day could have got it.
Day-Day could have got it. No, he couldn't have. He was stupid. Moving on to stupid things. Or not. Some people may think it was a brilliant thing. I don't know. But Willow Smith was in the news this week because of a picture that was posted on social media. The picture basically shows 13-year-old Willow Smith posing laying on a bed with 20-year-old Disney star Moises Arias. And Moises is topless or shirtless. And they just kind of laying on a bed. They're not really touching. But it's a very artsy, like, black and white kind of shot. For those of y'all don't see it, look online and it's there. And so people got real up in arms, like, oh, snap, this could be criminal, blah, 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 blah. Of course, people looked into it. It's not criminal. They weren't doing anything inappropriate, even though she's underage. And he's 20. She's 13. But TMZ tracked down Miss Jada Pinkett to get her take on all the hoopla surrounding her daughter. And she gave us a very lovely quote, which I have to pull up because I couldn't write it in my notes, but I will have it up in like 2 seconds.
This picture reminds me of what was his name from the Beatles with Ono?
With Paul McCartney?
Nope.
Ringo Starr?
Long hair.
John Lennon?
John Lennon and...
It's a very
Yoko Ono.
It gives me that esque of a picture,
artsy
and picture.
And supposedly Moises is like super into photography and like that's his thing. But basically, okay, so TMZ found Jada on the street. She was going to the airport or something, and they were like, "Hey, Jada, what do you think of all this drama around, you know, this picture?" And this is what Jada had to say
with a finger in their face.
Here's the deal: there was nothing sexual about that picture or that situation. You guys are projecting. Well, you guys are projecting your trash onto it, and you're acting like covert pedophiles, and that's not cool. She called y'all covert pedophiles if you think something wrong with that picture.
But what was the point of the picture?
It was just them hanging out, like, and he posted a picture on his Tumblr or
who
whatever
took this
it was.
Picture
supposedly it was some, I don't know, I mean, they say it was him, but I'm like, he in a picture, so I don't understand. I don't know. I mean, maybe he set up a tripod and they were just hanging out.
But what was the deal? Like, okay, so for school, I need to get a girl underage.
They are, okay, so the story on the street, sources say that, I mean, and Jada has said he's a family friend. They've been around him their entire lives. He's essentially like a brother to them. So he's around all the time. It's not surprising that they would be hanging out. Like, it's not that, it's not a big deal.
And Jada says, you know, we trust our daughter. You know, I know her. I trust her to be in a room.
See,
with
that's
him.
The problem right there. Well, she said
so
all day.
I actually kind of think it looks a little inappropriate unless it's for a movie, because she is only 13 years old and he's 20.
End of story.
Yes. So
end of story.
So to me, it's just completely inappropriate.
And I feel like Jada would be like,
it sends the wrong message
exactly.
out to young kids. To
no,
me.
But we should be telling our kids that we respect them and we understand them and we give them this ability to not make stupid decisions. No, this is inappropriate. It really is. I mean, yeah, it's not sexually inappropriate. Do I think he was doing anything inappropriate? No. And even if they were, you know what I mean, in the business, that's their business. But don't put it out there.
Right.
If your mother is fine with you being in a bed with a 20-year-old man, that is a private decision. Right. Conversation for y'all to have. Don't be snapping at TMZ because they asking you why your 13-year-old daughter is in a bed with a 20-year-old man.
And calling people covert pedophiles.
Yeah. Like, you're trash. Like, I'm sorry, aren't you in the same industry?
Yeah. You could have been like, I know it probably looked a little sketchy, but he's a family friend. It was nothing sexual about it. And just left it
I just
that.
Still don't even see the point. So it's like, like I said, if it was for a movie, I would not have the same opinion.
I mean, maybe they were just like, because she models and stuff. Like, it might have just been like, ooh, let's pretend to have like a photo session like among friends, which it's probably fine. But the fact that it got posted in the social media world that we live in, people have to understand it. Images communicate things. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily something you want to be communicating.
That's true.
Just saying.
Right. Like, maybe if the bigger picture, they're sitting there and there's two other people sitting on the floor and we're watching a Disney cartoon. Like, that's the picture I need to see, not this.
And I'm going to need her to be at least 16.
I was going to say, I need her to be at least 15, 16.
Like, yeah. I mean, like you are 13 yeah. and he is 20. Yeah. And I don't care if there were other. Why are you? Ooh.
Yeah.
Slapped it.
So no. A lot of Smith's friends won't be letting their kids be going over anymore.
I mean, that's how accidents happen, y'all. Mm. Yeah. They're like, I trust my daughter. I bet you do.
All right. Well,
14 and pregnant.
Too.
Yeah. Well,
that don't mean she don't know how to play with things.
Well, on that note,
I'm just saying.
Thank you, Courtney, for all the gossip and rumors. Before we move on to our final topics of our hot topics, I want to remind everyone to go to iTunes, give us a rating and comment. You guys have been giving us some great feedback. We have about 20 shows right now.
Sure
that,
have.
That's right.
Lots of feedback.
You guys have been letting us know what you do and don't like about our shows, and we want to continue to have that information as we continue to grow and give you more content and more great entertainment. Some of our shows that you can watch is Fashion 411 with Courtney here. Ooh, she's on one of the hosts of that show. We have The Beat with DJ Jesse J. We have Portraits, Geek Nerd Tech, Justice is Served. Let's see.
Black Tea Party.
Stand Up, Sit Down. The list goes on and on. There's an assortment of whatever you like in entertainment. We pretty much have it for our shows, but we definitely want you to rate and comment and let us know what you're thinking, and we'll continue to give you great programming. All right, so now we're going to move on to our final two topics. And one we mentioned earlier when we had Rama Mosley in here today, and this is also our new, we have a new partnership with EUR Web, and this is our story spotlight of the week. EUR Web is the Internet's top information source for urban entertainment and headline news, founded by legendary broadcaster Lee Bailey. And this particular topic that we'll be talking about right now is, once again, kind of the part two of the story of Bring Back Our Girls. It's been making a lot of headlines this week. The U.S. is sending over military advisors and law enforcement experts to Nigeria to help in aiding and finding the schoolgirls who were abducted. The abduction took place on April 14th. The terrorist group Boko Haram, which translates to Western education is a sin, has taken responsibility for the abductions. Boko Haram has killed over 2,000 people in Nigeria alone this year, which is crazy. It's now believed that the girls have been split up into small groups and are taken out of the country. The Boko Haram leader, Abu Bakar Shika, said in a video that they found, I abducted your girls. There is a market for selling humans. Allah says I should sell them. Mm-hmm. He commands me to sell them. Mm-hmm. Obama also made a statement about the assisting that the U.S. is going to do over with Nigeria. He said, in the short term, our goal is obviously to help the international community and the Nigerian community as a team to do everything we can to recover these young ladies. But we're also going to have to deal with the broader problem of organizations like this that can cause such havoc in people's day-to-day lives. This is the story just continues to go on and on and on. The U.S. has no plans on launching a full military operation, but they have sent over about 10 members for their team right now. Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan is receiving scrutiny and a lot of pressure right now because it was also announced today that apparently the Nigerian military knew about this this attempt at terrorism before it was happening. They said the terrorist groups were on their way to raid the a boarding school, which is information they got about 4 hours before it actually happened, and the commanders were unable to raise enough troops to respond to the situation. Now, right now, there's $310,000 reward on the by the Nigerian police to get this group together. What are your thoughts on all of this stuff? I mean, it's crazy on what's happening right now.
It's crazy and it's tragic, and it's they were reporting earlier when the Amnesty International is who's come out to say that the government, Nigerian government, knew at least 4 hours in advance of this happening and that they couldn't get the people together, the troops together, to try to help. And the idea was that some of the troops are so afraid of Boko Haram mm-hmm. that yeah. they were not interested in trying to face this at all. And I can't even conceptualize that at all. And we want to be as optimistic as possible and pray that this all works out. But them splitting up the girls, they believe yeah. some of the girls have already been crossed yeah. into Niger, into Chad, yeah. into Cameroon, and God knows where else. It's just, I can't even imagine. No. I just don't even know how any of it, like, it's so upsetting. Yeah. I don't even know what else to say. It's just...
Well, you mentioned about the fact that Boko Haram is actually is rumored to be targeting people who are trying to assist in the efforts to bring yeah. the girls back. It was mentioned that a Nigerian police officer was shot in the neck during a gunfight with alleged members of the terrorist group. Also, the group attacked a remote state capital near Nigeria's border. It's Gambaru, Ngala. Mm-hmm. They said about 310 victims were burned alive.
They're like vicious. And yeah. it's interesting too, because listening to people from the State Department and talking about how to figure out how we can do anything, like, it's not a situation where it's a ransom. It's not like, okay, we can figure out how to get the money together to no. get they it's not about that. It's about a faith-based situation where they believe their faith is saying that women should not be educated, these girls are property and they should be sold. And how do you combat that at all? Like, it seems very, very, like a very impossible situation.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned before when we had Rama in here, I was really surprised that there was such a small number of our team that was going over to yeah. assist. But I know the other countries, as they mentioned,
UK
and France are getting involved as well, which hopefully will help in getting the situation resolved quicker. It just makes me really nervous now that they've broken it into small groups and now they don't yeah. even know exactly which cities they're in.
It's been almost 4 weeks. Yeah. They were mm-hmm. taken on the 14th of April, so it's a month, and they could be anywhere at this point. And
it's just so scary how many.
Yes, like you were able to take 300 some girls. Like, thankful for the ones that were able to escape before they got. It was like 50.
300, and then 53 got away. So it's 206, yeah. 276 that are still missing.
But 34. I can't even those moms. Prayers.
But I have we were talking earlier, I love the grassroots movement of this because I think it is getting out there slowly. But I think enough people, it is, like, this is an Instagram ad that they've been posting. Mm-hmm. It's short. It's simple. It explains everything on this, you know, to get it out there. And, this actual ad is the one that enticed me to be like, wait, what is this?
Yeah.
So I just think it's, again, you know, guys, like, I know we see on social media how many times where, you know, you just scroll past something or you just like it, but it isn't, you know, or some people are like, I don't want to post that on my page. Like, this yeah. is something that needs to be posted because it's something that, you know, we're just looking at this isolated situation, but if someone gets away with this,
yeah,
think about what that opens the opportunities to for the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the idea, and... part of it, too, though, is recognizing that this is not new. The mm-hmm. sex trade and
yeah,
trading, selling women has been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
And it happens in the United States, too. Mm-hmm. So all of us over here that think we're safe from it, there are girls being kidnapped and sold into sexual slavery and all kind of hot messery happening all day, every day in this country, too. And so if nothing else comes of this, God willing, something better will come of it. The girls will be brought back. But if nothing else comes of it, it brings an awareness to the sex trade and the selling of women around the world, and that it should not, it can't continue to be accepted.
Yeah, and excuse me, I said 276 girls were still missing, but it's 234. 53 got away. But one of my biggest issues with this, and we can move on to our last subject, is the fact that, you know, just across the country, and especially in the U.S., we're just so unaware of so many of these things that are going on. And we know the latest car to drive or the latest music to buy, but we don't know these big issues that are going on. I just think we really need to all start educating ourselves a lot more so we can, as a country, can be more helpful just assisting in things like this. I mean, I know there's not much we can do in the sense of we're not in Nigeria, but every little bit helps. Every little bit of support
just
helps.
Just post it.
Just posting it, like you said, on social media, that all helps.
No, I mean, you say that, but I mean, it's crazy because this is out of the country. Right. We don't even look at the issues within our own. So, but that's another topic for another day.
Yes. All right. So moving on to a somewhat lighter topic, which will be our last topic of the day. I don't know how much lighter it is. Legendary dancer, actress, and choreographer Debbie Allen sat down with BET this week, and she was talking about her career, and she's been working on Scandal and directed a couple of it.
And bringing a different world back.
But the question was asked about, just people, actors, and how she thinks the business is. And one of the questions that Debbie asked was, why does a sex tape make you famous? She said this when speaking to BET. She said, it used to be about bringing something to the world. And technology has made people famous for who are not really gifted or talented. And then she based the question about, why does a sex tape make you famous?
Because who can hang from a shower rod and do pull-ups in the that's a workout video.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we are talking about the star of, Love and Hip-Hop Atlanta.
Mimi
has a sex tape out right now, which is getting a lot of buzz.
Pamela Anderson, Tommy Lee.
Paris Hilton, Tommy Lee. I mean,
Kim Kardashian. They've all had them.
I think this is a society we're in now. We're no longer going to be in this society of the days when Debbie Allen was coming up and that side of the business. I think that's lost. That innocence is lost. We're never going to get that back. Where do we go from here? Technology is only going to advance even more.
Next, our actors are going to be like prostitutes.
Yeah, I mean, where do you go from
here?
Having
escorts being like on the screen because everyone has to look like beat at all times. Like, I just, you know what I mean? Like, I think we're coming into this world where we're accepting sex so much. And you know, it's funny because Keke Palmer came out this week and made a statement, kind of talking about, you know, as a woman, a lot of us feel like we have to give it up so quickly, you know, because we're pressured and, you know, we're put into this mentality. And what's that? How are we getting that message? Where is that message coming from that
there needs to be no connection before sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, does it come from, I mean, when I think about it, what kind of started it was that year of the sex tape with Kim Kardashian and the Flavor of Love on that year. And all these things just kind of happened at the same time. And it's like, we don't have options to watch anything.
Well, I feel like Pamela Anderson really, really, really started because she made a tremendous amount of money off of that sex
tape. But she was already famous, like, already before. Yeah. Like, okay, you're saying,
right, okay, yeah. I get you. Yeah.
Like, Pamela Anderson would have been famous with or without
the sex. Right, it just added to her being famous, right.
Kim Kardashian, though, I mean,
to make a career out of a sex tape, that was definitely her.
That was definitely a move for her.
Yeah.
Mimi, Love and Hip Hop, you know, it's like, I see they're nowhere near Kim Kardashian. Like, Kim Kardashian is the example of this. Like, at the end of the day, she has taken herself from where she was into where her family is now based off of that. When you think about it, what really is the talent there?
Right.
You know, now we're so excited to open up.
Well, the talent.
I watched the tape, like I'm saying. Anyways, but, you know, we're so excited. Kim Kardashian speaking about racism. Now we have to get the newest issue of Vogue and read about how she feels about racism. Like, Kim Kardashian? I want to hear what Beyonce thinks about it. Right. How Beyonce has been, you know what I mean? Because there's talent there.
But, yeah, it's about, Kris Jenner was brilliant with flipping that situation.
I mean, we could look at it, Kris Jenner is talented.
It's a lesson in business in this country. Yeah. So,
But the unfortunate thing is, still based on my question, where do we go from here? Because now, how do you change that? Because we are in the world of technology where there's selfies, and kids are in high school in eighth grade taking pictures of themselves giving
Snapchat.
Each other oral and Snapchat. I mean,
did you just say that?
Yes.
Snapchat?
Giving oral on Instagram.
Oral. Yes. Cool. So where do you go from there?
I mean, obviously you go down a barrel to hell. So all we can hope is that at least there will always be a lane of real legit artists and creative people and intelligent people that are always pushing what they have. Whether or not that'll be mainstream, I don't know, because we like cheap entertainment. We're a country that consumes fast and quick and whatever. But eventually, I think, at least from my perspective, optimistically saying, you know, the lame sex gets boring after a while. Like, watching Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, like, I'm bored. Maybe you're 50. Like, I'm just like, you look real lame.
I don't know.
I gotta
disagree with you, though. There's some exciting moments in that tape that I saw.
But not in the way that it was, like, first round with Jocelyn. Like, it's like, okay, yeah. I feel like everything has a shorter shelf life now.
Right.
And that only means that when the real talent comes along, it's just that much more valuable.
True.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think this is going anywhere. I don't think we're going to stop seeing sex tapes and people trying to get famous off of it. But I do think it's these all are short-lived moments.
Yeah.
And maybe Kim was, like, the one that was able to stretch hers out the most.
The most.
And
yes.
Maybe there'll be another, like, in, like, 10 more years, there'll be somebody else that, you know, does a sex tape and lasts and does something amazing. But I don't
Mimi
think...
Mimi and Nico ain't dramatic.
Yeah. Because in the end, that's not... Still, it's not the norm. Like, it's still not... Every superstar celebrity that really made it is not making it because of their sex tape.
Yeah.
So we haven't gotten there yet. So we're not totally in hell. We're just, like, slightly...
We're in purgatory, right.
Yeah, and we're sending our children there fairly regularly. But you know what I'm saying, like... Just
all
perform,
right.
Y'all.
Well, thank you for tuning in to this week. It's been a roller coaster ride today.
Day.
I feel like an emotional day.
Stolen.
All right. We went from a lot of different topics, from government to sex tapes. So, hey.
To racism.
Check out Daryl's sex tape. He's got that online, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for Vivid to call me. Daryl, but also remember, as you're checking out sex tapes, to... Go to our BuzzMeter question, which is today, which do you think that Willow Smith's photo is inappropriate? We had a couple things to say about it, but we want to know what you have to say about it.
I gave it 3 years, and we'll get a sex tape from that one.
Uh-oh, don't put that out there. Courtney, where can your fans find you?
Twitter and Instagram, Stuart Starlet.
Jesse.
DJ Jesse J.
And you can find me at Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Peace.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.